I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I was thinking about coming out of the shoot here and telling y'all about my new boots that I got on, but y'all want to talk about puppy chow?
What is that, ostrich?
Hell no, it's python.
It's Sterney's Daily.
Before we get to that boner.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, Dirty's Daily brought to you by Better Call Sean. If you need a fence, he does it right. Better Call Sean.
That a boy, let's go.
Sean Bajani's Fence Company. I'm serious. He's sponsoring Dirty's Daily today, man. Y'all, if you need some fence work done, I've seen the work. You can look at the before and afters and on
my Facebook up.
Facebook right there. Sean Bajani. Spell it for him, Sean.
Sean Bajani. S-H-A-U-N-B-I-J-A-N-I.
Yeah, see, I knew I put that J-A-N-I in there right early. I call you Johnny.
Johnny, yeah.
Somebody somewhere along the way spelt it with a G, and I was like, nah, it's a J, baby. It's a J. This is Johnny. Sean Bajani is in for Ron, the show, Ugly. Boys, I got to plug your business, but then I've got to
tip of the cap to you, sir.
Well, I mean, I think the Tyler was talking like that little intro right there before we get to the, you know what I'm talking about? I got huge props to myself this week. I want to challenge all the married men out there and all the men that are in serious relationships out there. I want you to make sure that you're continuing to date your bride. I want to encourage you to take the time, the effort, and whatever money you're willing to spend. I want you to make sure you date your bride. You see, here's what I did this weekend, Bajani. I knew the Texans had the weekend off, a little bye week. You know, and usually I'm doing a post-game show on Sunday, mm-hmm. So my weekends are pretty short, so it's hard to leave town, right? So I said, babe, why don't me and you go up to the Hill Country up in New Bromville, San Marcos area? I said, my wife's recently taken up golf. I said, why don't we go up there and play a little golf? And she said, oh, I'd love to go up there. I said, well, here's what I want to do. I want to go up there because my wife's sister lives up there and doesn't mm-hmm. get to see the babies much, right? So she's always real excited and willing to watch the kids. I said, well, here's what I want to do. I want you to go on up early on Friday because we don't like traveling late with the babies. I said, I'll get off work on Friday night and I'll come up there. And we'll get up Saturday and we'll have an all-day Saturday date. We'll give the kids to the sister, mm-hmm. and we'll have an all-day Saturday date. Here's what we're going to do. She's taking up golf, so great golf course up there, Kissing Tree. Nice. It just now dawned on me the name of the golf course, Kissing Tree. Yeah. Great date, right?
How about that?
So we play 18 holes of golf. She got her first birdie, legit.
What?
Legit birdie, legit.
On a par four?
Par four, short par four. That Kissing Tree course is a little bit of a shorter course, so you don't have to be – You don't like you have to be able to hit it straight, mm-hmm. right? You have to be good with the wedges. Like the pin placements are absolutely ridiculous. They're super difficult. So that's kind of how that course plays. But she She's long off the tee box with her drives. She's only been playing for about 3 or 4 months, but she's long off the tee box with her drives, and so she legit birdie.
Yeah.
Legit birdie. She's got a real shot. So we play 18 holes, riding the cart together all day, have us a few tequila drinks, listen to some good music, have my playlist all set up with our songs on it. We get done. We go back into we go back to the house. We may or may not have a little wrestling match, you know, there in the house.
Okay.
Wrestle a bit.
Okay.
And and then there's the Longhorn game, right?
Uh-huh.
And she's a Longhorn, so we sit down and we watch the Longhorn game. And they win, right? And
which is a win for you,
which
again.
Which is another win for me. You're right. She is in a great mood at this point in time, boys. And while she was doing all her little cheering for the Longhorns, of course, I'm watching the game, but I'm sitting up dinner. And big shout out to Randy Rogers, who's up in that. He's from up in that neck of the woods. He put me on a spot. He put me on a spot that I took her to. We go to this phenomenal, phenomenal steakhouse, right? Phenomenal steakhouse. But Longhorn game, get dressed. I said, why don't you go on there and get dressed? I said, we're gonna stop by a little spot and have a little drink on the way to the steakhouse where we eat.
Mm-hmm.
We stop by this place. It's a great concept, boys. It's obviously some kind of breakfast coffee shop, right?
Right.
Kind of off the beaten path in San Marcos. And it has, they've said, look, we obviously make our money in the mornings with coffee and breakfast and yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
Espressos or whatever. How can we make some money in the evenings? So this thing's open the doors in the evenings and claims to have the best espresso martini in the land.
Oh, those are good.
They bought a billboard. I saw it. I said, babe, I'm going to stop by and get you this world's best espresso martini. So we go in there. It ends up being a super cool place. A little live music outside. So we have a little espresso martini. I had me a Carajillo. So we did that. And then we go to Myron's, right? I order the steak. I ordered a Kansas City strip, not a New York strip, Kansas City strip. I tipped my cap to my boy Ron for that one right there. And then I went on a limb. I said, go ahead and bring me that big old lobster tail y'all got back here.
What? Here we go.
She didn't think I should order it, so I told her I wasn't going to give her any. Well, when it got there, I cut that thing, big old lobster tail, big juicy lobster tail. Cut that thing in half and gave it to her.
Yeah?
I gave her half of my tail, you know what I mean? And had a nice, nice dinner at this nice steakhouse. And drove through Green, through the hill country a little bit. And we had the girls out of the house. They were spending the night with the sister-in-law. So we went on back home, maybe wrestled a little bit, main event. And main event took place after dinner. And then we got us a good full night's sleep without babies kicking us in the back, man.
Atta boy.
And I'm going to tell you, man, it gave me an opportunity to share some thoughts with my bride about how special she is to me and how good of a mother she is and how good of a wife she is. I didn't have that part planned. Just kind of spur of the moment, you know?
Yeah. Well, and that's even better.
Well, it's gone. I'm telling you, it's gone a long way. I think it bought me a couple more years of marriage at least.
I would say so. It was as good as it sounded like it was.
I mean, yeah. I'm telling you, it was something else. But I got to pat myself on the back.
Wrestling matches, a steak and...
Which at 47, Chief, that is a feat in itself.
Steak and lobster dinner.
Yeah. Espresso martini, 18 holes of golf.
And the football team wins on that weekend.
And I really will never let her forget I drove 3 hours to take her on a date. How about that? And her football team won.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it was a hell of a week, man. It was a hell of a weekend, hell of a date. And
I'm stealing that one from
you. I think you should, man. I'm telling you, fellas, don't. I mean, the worst thing you can do is stop dating your bride. I know it gets busy. I know work and finances and kids and all that stuff, man. I know, but don't stop dating your bride, man.
Yeah, girl.
Right? That's right, Tyler. I mean, just go in search of what you initially fell in love with, and the best way to do it is get your old Saturday all day date. Figure something out, man.
Yep. And if you ain't got a sister-in-law that's going to watch the kiddos, get your mother or father-in-law
there
to watch
you go.
The kiddos.
There you go. I mean, there's always around it, right? You don't have to be all day. Maybe it's just a morning or an evening, but don't forget to date your bride, fellas. Don't forget to date your bride.
Great advice. And I will take you up on that, sir.
Sean, I'm going to tell you, man.
It's like, I mean, it is an investment. If you think about it, like you just said, you think it bought you like two or three more years of marriage.
Two or three more years, happy years for sure.
You know,
she may get miserable after two. I don't know. I'm hard to deal with.
Feels a little humble to me. Okay. I'm just saying, I feel like maybe you should bump that up to like five at least.
Well, we've only been married five, so I mean, yeah, we might make it to 10 now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's one of those things that, my wife is my best friend, so I really enjoy her company as much as any, but I have to force her to take the time of away and take your mind off the kids and take your mind off of work. And it seems like the hill country, golf, good dinner, little wrestling seems to do that.
All that is right up my wife's alley. But real question though, how often? How often do you need to do that?
That?
Yeah.
Hell, I drove 3 hours. That's the first time I've ever done that. But we make it a point. We make it a point probably twice a month and should do it more.
Date in general.
Yeah, just a date in general. Yeah, we make it. I mean, I got a 1.5-year-old and a 3.5-year-old. I mean, so it's hard to, the problem we have is my mother and her mother watch the kids throughout the week. So it's hard in the weekend to be like, oh, hey, will you watch the kids again?
Yeah, yeah.
They watch the kids all week long. They're not in school all day yet. You know,
Hashtag find yourself a sister-in-law.
Yeah, sister-in-law needs to move closer. What the hell? So we had to drive. That's why we had to drive 3 hours. But her taking up golf is big because now, I can drop the kids off at 9 o'clock in the morning at their little day school or whatever. Well, her and I, if she's got a break in her work schedule, we can go hit balls for an hour, you know, and we have fun. Do it, turn a little music on, boom. Got the TrackMan system out there at the golf course, and we have a good time.
Texans.
So I don't know. You tell the Texans this is my damn time.
Hey Texans,
I give y'all enough. I give y'all enough segment. We give y'all enough of our damn airtime. Fix to give y'all the whole 6 o'clock hour, man. Leave me alone. Let me talk about my wife for a minute.
I thought we was about to have some Texan breaking news.
No,
hold up.
I'm gonna figure out what that was because I'm honestly not sure back here. But shut up, Texans. Not yet.
I thought we slipped off the air again, and you had to get us back on. But nonetheless, man, don't forget to date your bride, man. It matters. It goes a long way. This goes a long way. I mean, long way. I think she's cried 3 times. Out of good tears. Good
Glenn
tears.
On the text message says, 33 years of marriage. Date once every couple of 3 weeks, and it works.
Oh, yeah. There you go. I mean, keep that wrestling up, too.
I'll co-sign that.
Keep that wrestling up, too.
Gotcha.
Oh, man. All right, boys. I'm Clint Stern alongside Ron. No, Ron's not here. Sean is in for Ron the Show Ugly. Tyler Milner is behind the glass on the ones and twos. Real quick, boys. Real quick. Are y'all fans of the international games in the NFL?
I've become more of a fan, I would say, in the last couple of years, yeah.
Yes and no.
I'm going to be honest with you. I can't get down.
Why? You don't like 8:30 in the morning football?
Bingo. I want part of Sunday. Like, if I'm not, I mean, typically it's church, right? And so I miss it anyway. But, like, if I do have a Sunday to sit around, like, I want to sit around and watch regular TV or something. Or like, I don't want to feel like I need to watch football. When it's on, I feel like I should be watching it. Like, even if it's teams I don't care, like, I feel like I should be watching it just to do it. Like, I don't need football at 8:30 in the morning.
I get it. But it doesn't bother me because I'm like you. I miss it normally because I am at church.
Right.
When I get back, you know, I like to kind of check in on it before, you know, I got to go to the Texans or, you know, whatever the case may be. I like the optic of it. You know, the 8:30 game to me, like for this weekend, we didn't go to church. We had a really long Saturday and my boy didn't wake up until 9:30 and we're usually at 9 a.m. mass. And so I woke up early and I had the game on. I didn't pay attention to it like closely like I would a Texans, but it's kind of like an Indy 500 or a horse race to me. It's on, it's in the background, it's a good vibe, and I'm doing house things, making breakfast.
Yeah.
I like that.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I was doing the same thing actually, right? And I'm typically one that if it's Sean Payton anything, because Sean was the quarterback coach, passing game coordinator with the Cowboys that short period of time before I got cut. So I know Sean pretty well. Sean was good to me, man. Sean really liked me. If it was up to Sean, I probably would have played a little longer. But anyway, like I really like watching teams that he's coaching play. They're offensively, they're just fun to watch. And so that's where I was at. And I like Bo Nix. I like to watch Bo Nix to kind of see what he can do. So I had every reason under the sun to pay attention to that game. And I was just like, I ain't got it in me. I can't. 12 hours of football is too much for me. And I'll be honest with you, watching it, like we make a lot in media. We make a lot about Thursday night football and traveling from the East Coast to the West Coast and short weeks and long weeks. And I personally think it's all hogwash. Like it's all silly.
Yeah.
Right. But like asking these guys to go to London and play a game.
Yeah.
And then fly back and play like that level of travel, even though they try to massage it and make it all make sense,
yeah,
it's still that level of travel is nuts. And to me, that's the you know, if you want to talk about something that's like borderline unfair to ask players to do, like that level of play.
It sounded like the Broncos, and I'm sure the Jets did the same thing. The Broncos kind of like sucked it up, took the Band-Aid approach. Like after their game last weekend, boom, they immediately went to London. So, you know, they sucked it up. They got that jet lag out of the way, 24, 48 hours, whatever, and you had a semi-normal week because you're there, you know, for most of the time. I have to believe the Jets did the same thing too. I wonder if, like, you know, these players, they're all 20-somethings, generally speaking. That's a life experience. You know, that's going to be a really cool.
Yeah, no, I played 2 years over in Europe. I played in Scotland. I played in Amsterdam. It's a really cool experience. I just don't know that it's conducive to, you know, getting through a season and not like having the travel and the time change and the fatigue of all that impact your ability to prepare for the next game. Or vice versa.
What if every team had to do that abroad? Like every team had to play one game overseas somewhere.
Well, I don't mind it. I just don't like. To me, it's just the money grab. Like it's clearly not good for the teams, not good for the players. It's all about the brand of the NFL and making more money. That's it. That's all it is. And so that's where I kind of draw the line of like, okay, now there's no positive for the players other than the experience, which they make plenty of money. They can go over in the offseason and not worry about it. Mm-hmm. But there's only a negative to it from a player's perspective. But the league and the teams can make a boatload of money doing it, so they choose the money over the player and stuff like that. So anyway, that's me. All right, it's a Reaction Monday, and here's what I want to do, because we had two interesting games in the division that I think we got to keep tabs on. If we're fans of the Texans and if we're hoping that they can right this ship, the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Indianapolis Colts they played this weekend, and one played the Seattle Seahawks, who's our next opponent, and one jumped to 5-1 and is the best team in the AFC at the moment per rankings. We'll talk about that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes. Stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead. Try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses. plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
Duval.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, it is a Reaction Monday. And we didn't have the Texans, but we did have one hell of a weekend in college football. We had one hell of a weekend in the NFL. Hell, we had a heck of a weekend with Major League Baseball and this with the playoff action, or really the Seattle Mariners, and kind of how they went about winning the ALDS and game one of the ALCS in about 50 hours worth of time. They went 15 innings in the ALDS and then 9 innings in the ALCS, and somehow would they give up one run, which was a bomb by George Springer in game one. So wild, wild weekend on several fronts. But I do want to take a moment here to update everybody on what went on in the division, or what's going on in the division where the Texans, the Houston Texans, reside. And there's some really good and some really bad. And then Jacksonville falls somewhere in between. So on the weekend where the Texans have the off week, the Tennessee Titans, they lay an egg and lose to the Raiders in embarrassing fashion. And the breaking news of today is that the Tennessee Titans have fired head coach Brian Callahan less than one and a half years as the head coach. What would I say it was earlier? 23 games? 4-19.
4-19.
4-19, 23 games. They part ways with their head coach. And so Tennessee is obviously dysfunctional and getting more and more dysfunctional as we speak. So that's what's going on in Nashville. And then you had the two teams that are currently above the Texans in the standings, the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Indianapolis Colts. Let's start with the Jacksonville Jaguars. They lose at home 20-12 to the Seattle Seahawks. So what does it matter? Well, the Jacksonville Jaguars, they fall to 4-2, just generally speaking, for their record. But I think that the interesting point here is that they played Seattle, who is the team that we're going to see the Texans play next, which is Monday Night Football next weekend. Mm-hmm. The Seattle Seahawks are also 4-2. This is a really good, not great, but a really good NFC team thus far, six games into the season. They're good on offense. They're good on defense. And, in fact, I think the biggest thing to report here to the fan base of the Houston Texans is how good Seattle actually is and was on the defensive side of the football, Sean.
Yeah.
I know they had 7 sacks, and that was a big part of the game. Their ability to get after Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback, was played big in this game. I know you've got bigger numbers than just the sack numbers, but it was a long day for Trevor Lawrence.
They pressured Trevor Lawrence on his dropbacks 79% of the time.
That's a big number.
That is 33 pressures out of the 42 dropbacks. That's wild, man.
Yeah, that's a rough day at the office.
And hit him 16 times.
Yeah.
With those 7 sacks, they hit him, 9 more times. Yeah. And that's got to be a little concerning, just to say the least, if you're the Texans.
Yeah, I think that's the whole reason of bringing it up is right coming into this game. I mean, Seattle's a good defense, and at one point, I don't know where they rank right now, but at one point they were one of the top 5 or 6 defenses from a scoring defense perspective. They gave up 12, and so I got to believe that they're somewhere still in good shape from a scoring defense perspective. But if you really look into what they were able to do this past weekend was really get after the quarterback. And here in Houston, while I believe that my bigger concerns have moved on beyond the offensive line, but I don't want to get too far ahead of myself in thinking that this offensive line and really the overall pass protection of C.J. Stroud can't quickly become a problem as the opponents improve and get better mm-hmm. as the schedule goes on. So the fact that Seattle was able to sack was able to sack Trevor Lawrence 7 times, pressure him 33 times. Would you say hit him 16 times?
Yeah.
All on 42 attempts. That could be rough for the Texans. Now, the Seattle Seahawks, I believe, got up in this game and were able to, so Jacksonville was kind of having to play catch up late in the game kind of deal, or in the second half of the game, if I remember correctly. And so there were maybe there were additional opportunities there, and Seattle just pinned their ears back. But nonetheless,
yeah. The
ability to pressure the quarterback is something that could be a problem for the Texans next Monday night.
Yeah, they were up 20-6 going into the fourth quarter.
There you go.
The Seahawks were. And, you know, the other thing, you know, if we flip this around, so we're going to be a little concerned about what the Texans offensive line is going to look like and the offense in general against better opponents going forward, because as Absolutely. Much as we want to believe that this team has maybe turned a corner, okay, look, the Ravens still lost their ass again this weekend to the Rams, okay, by 2 scores.
Scored 3 points, didn't
we? We know for a fact they suck, okay? That's confirmed. They're dead in the water. But,
and the Titans fired their coach, so they're dead in the water.
And the Titans fired their coach. You thought they were going to be, you know, that he was going to be done for. It was a question of, you know,
when, not if.
But Seattle's quarterback, Sam Darnold, had a really nice day again, threw for almost 300 yards, couple of scores. He was only sacked one time and hit 4 times. So how good Seattle's offensive line is and just their scheme in general, I'd have to imagine. I didn't get a chance to watch a lot of that game, check into it every once in a while, but I would imagine they're probably trying to do with Darnold what Nick Cayley's trying to do and has been able to do the last 2 weeks with C.J. Stroud, and that's create higher tempo, get the ball out quickly. Yeah. When you're not, you know, very confident in your offensive line or you need to do some things to help them out, get the ball in and out and try to move the ball that way, stick with the run game. The Seahawks have obviously done a pretty good job of that so far this season. I want to know how geared up this Texans defense is going to be, you know, against, I would have to say, an above-average offensive line, an above-average offense in Seattle, an already very difficult place to play on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, it's going to be another measuring stick game of I feel like you're closer to the top half of the league than you are the bottom half of the league. Your football product looks to be a good product.
This is the measuring stick game, right?
Yeah, so far, absolutely. So we'll see. On the other side of that, the Indianapolis Colts, they beat Arizona 31-27, and they are now 5-1 atop the AFC. Overall atop the AFC, and I'm going to guess as they were the high-scoring offense in the AFC, scoring 31 points. I believe that was right at their average, if not above their average, mm-hmm. That they're still the high-scoring offense in the AFC. And they're sitting at 5-1, and I think the biggest thing for the Colts right now is they're using Jonathan Taylor the way I thought they would use Jonathan Taylor, or that you would think that they would use Jonathan Taylor. He's a leading rusher in football right now. He's averaging over 100 yards a game. He's got over 600 yards rushing total. He's got 7 touchdowns, 22 catches, and a touchdown through the air. Jonathan Taylor is the workhorse back that we've seen him before in Indianapolis. Kind of disappeared for a couple of years due to injury and probably some contract frustrations. Daniel Jones also, look, I'm going to be honest with you. The more I hear people talk about, oh, Daniel Jones is going to just Daniel Jones, he'll be back to who he was, I'm like, man, y'all are crazy. I mean, Daniel Jones was in a bad organization with no support, with an owner that came out and literally said, we did everything we could to make sure this guy failed.
Yeah.
And now he's in a healthy organization with a good supporting cast, with a great play caller. He's got 1,500 plus yards, 8 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. And get this, Daniel Jones, y'all, has only been sacked 5 times all year long.
Yeah,
they're running the football well. They're protecting the quarterback. This is going to be a difficult. I don't see the Colts slowing down anytime soon.
But they played Miami in Vegas in Tennessee. They squeaked one out against the Broncos, and they, you know, lost by 1 score to the Rams. And yeah, they barely got by the Cards this past weekend.
Yep.
But does that lack of quality of opponent give you at least a little bit of pause? Not about Jones, but just about the team and the Colts in general.
Well, I think it can give you a little bit of pause, but the reality of it is that's the schedule they got the rest of the way. You know what I mean? The difference is the Texans are playing a first-place schedule and the Colts are playing a second- or third-place schedule. And the Jacksonville Jaguars are playing the other one. So the schedule for those teams are going to be easier along the way. It's not going to compare to the Texans' schedule. Now, their schedule specifically, obviously, is going to get more difficult because that's not impressive what you just rattled off. But what's impressive through that run is they're not just sneaking by. Mm-hmm. They're not talking about, it was a close game and it was a 1-score game. No, I mean, they're going out there. They're leading – they're like the number 3 scoring defense,
yeah,
and number one scoring offense,
mm-hmm,
in the AFC. So it's like, I mean,
see what it looks like against the Chargers again, who they play this next week. And then they got the Steelers, they got the Chiefs and the Texans back to back weeks, and then a head to head at Jacksonville. That's five pretty tough games over the course of the next 7 weeks.
Well, the beautiful thing for us as Texans fans is we're going to catch them late. And so whatever Nick Cayley is, I got to believe by that point he will be that person. You know what I mean? Like we'll know that is him and CJ going to mesh or not. You know, is Nick Cayley going to be able to call plays and be good at it or not?
The best version of himself at that point in time, you hope.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I think catching them late and catching them two games late in the season, we can swing this thing in a big way. But I think the Indianapolis Colts are for real. All right, the Kansas City Chiefs, they played last night, and I think it is the exact blueprint of what we hope happens with the Houston Texans. They are at a fork in the road right now. Do you get to 500 and come home with a three-game stretch here, home stretch, where you can get above 500 and really get this thing on track? Or do you slide back to 2-4 and join the cellar dwellers in the AFC? Which direction do you go? The Kansas City Chiefs gave you the blueprint last night. We'll talk about that next right here on Sports Radio.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
T-Mill being T-Mill.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Hughley is out. Sean Bajani is in. Tyler Milner is on the ones and twos behind the glass. And we will get you the T-Mill's best bets. He is on an absolute heater right now, y'all. 12 of his last 12, and I'm telling you, the way to go is when Tyler gets hot, you ride the wave, right? Don't get carried away. But Tyler, let Tyler get carried away. And when Tyler also gets hot, on top of being carried away, is when you just pick and choose, baby. You just cherry pick whichever one tickles your fancy.
Wow.
And you got a much better chance of winning, right? So it's Tyler's doing all the work, and you're just riding the wave. That's the way to go. We got two Monday night games tonight. We got Bills at Falcons, and we got Bears at Commanders. Well, you're talking about some quarterback matchups. I don't know. I'm not saying I'm a fan of all these guys at all, but if you just enjoy watching like explosive quarterback play, I don't know that it gets any more explosive than these matchups right here. Josh Allen versus Michael Penix Jr. I mean, Michael Penix Jr., the way that ball jumps off his hand with that short, quick stroke he's got is absolutely ridiculous. And then we all know what Josh Allen can do and what he's capable of doing with his arm and his legs. When you look at Caleb Williams right now and that Ben Johnson offense, I mean, he's the closest thing to me Like, real talk, he is stylistically, I am stylistically here. Don't get carried away. He is the closest thing to Pat Mahomes that I've seen.
Wow. Yeah. That's pretty high praise.
I'm not saying he's going to go win Super Bowls. Hell, I'm not saying he's going to be a Pro Bowler. I'm talking about stylistically the way that he plays the game.
Yeah, but I mean, that only lends itself to where if you've got those complementary pieces around you, like the hard part is kind of done, right? If you've got the toolbox and you've got the tools.
Yeah. Well, he's missing way too many throws throughout a game. Like, he's missing chunk plays, he's missing scoring throws. I mean, he's hurting them with that freestyle Pat Mahomes style of play. Like, I don't know if he can continue to play that. I don't know if that's inexperience in Ben Johnson's offense, or is that inexperience in the league, or is that a lower ceiling that he just can't get away with doing those things? He doesn't have the arm talent to make that throw, and he thinks he does, right? Pat has the arm talent to make those throws and does it time and time again. And I just know stylistically the way he floats in the pocket, the way he's not as athletic as everybody else on the field, but he finds a way to be crafty and buy time. He'll end up with 30 or 40 yards rushing sometimes. Mm-hmm. The comfort and the effortless way in which he plays, kind of that just floating around quarterback, is so Pat Mahomes-like, just stylistically, that it intrigues me to watch. And then Jaden Daniels with the Commanders, and I know he hadn't been back but maybe a week or two from an injury or whatever, but man, when you talk about the combination of arm and legs, the explosive ability to hit your head on a goalpost with your arm or your legs, a great offensive play caller in Cliff Kingsbury with weapons around him, which, by the way, Deebo Samuel is going to play tonight. I know he's questioned, but he is going to play tonight in that Bears at Commanders matchup. So, but yeah, Bijani, these are two matchups right here, man, that are no skin in the game, no dog in the fight. But they're fun to watch if you enjoy quarterback play.
Yeah, it'll be good. I'm looking forward to him tonight as well. You mentioned Pat Mahomes, right? And I know you wanted to make a point about the Kansas City Chiefs and, you know, what we can maybe take from that game last night against the Lions and apply it to the Texans. I'll just say this on Pat Mahomes, and Chris Collinsworth hit on it last night during the game in the fourth quarter. I think it was Kansas City's second-to-last drive. Mahomes had, like, just gotten sacked on a free rush by Aiden Hutchinson on the right side, right? And in the very next play, I think it was, Mahomes steps up into the pocket after Hutchinson is ready to take his head off again. He steps up in the pocket, and there's nobody open. He tucks it and runs for like maybe 4 or 5 yards and kind of gets twisted around, takes a hit. Boom. He tries to stay up and get an extra 2 yards, twists out of a tackle, and tries to lean forward to get another couple of yards out of it, takes another hit. And Collinsworth was like, what other quarterback is doing that is playing at this level and has been playing at this level for this long? Like, he's doing whatever it takes to just get the chains moving. And
I'm ready to go.
I love that. And it's so true, though. I mean, a lot of quarterbacks, they get wrapped up, you know, by the ankles. They're going to go down. You know, they don't want to take another hit. Mahomes took two blasts before he went down. And that was kind of a microcosm of what the Chiefs did to the Lions last night, in my opinion, in the fourth quarter. They stepped on their throat.
Yeah. Oh, no question. The ability of Pat Mahomes gets talked about a lot, but I think if you look at Pat Mahomes, I mean, there's a couple of things that really stand out to me, and one of them is like his sixth sense in the pocket, like how comfortable he is kind of ducking and dodging and moving and allowing his offensive line to stay attached and block for him. That's his superpower. But there's also a part of Pat Mahomes that is, to your point, there is a clutch gene. There is a tougher than nails gene.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's that take him to make him the champion that he is, right? There's a lot of guys that are talented, but boy, there's some things that if you really watch Pat that take him to the next level are really that tough, gritty, clutch, kind of a sixth sense in the pocket, and it's not what you hear a lot of people talk about most of the time. But on that front, on that game, Chiefs win 30-17 last night over the Lions, and I think what the Texans are up against here is something similar to what the Chiefs were up against, right? Mm-hmm. The Chiefs were sitting at 2-3, didn't get the start that they thought that they would get. They've got some injuries, and they're looking down. They're staring down a barrel of a really good, at the time, 4-1. Detroit Lions football team. an NFC power, and you're at a fork in the road. Do you slip to 2-4 and make it really difficult on yourself to chase the teams that are playing better in your division, the Denver Broncos and the teams that are winning, or do you go win a game that's a tough win against a really good football team in the NFC and get your season back on track? And I just ultimately think, I'm not trying to say the Texans or the Chiefs by any means, but that's what the Texans are up against.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at it right now, they got to go on the road against a good NFC opponent, and they've got to win that game to give themselves a chance to come back home and right the ship and get back in playoff contention and get back into the conversation of, hey, we're one of the better teams potentially in the AFC. The Chiefs did it last night. Can the Texans do it next Monday night?
More likely to win their division, who? Chiefs or Texans?
Chiefs. Chiefs, without a doubt.
Do you think the Texans...
That Chiefs team we watched last night is a contender.
Texans' only path to the postseason is a wild card.
Absolutely, that's what I believe.
When's the last time we got a wild card coming out of the AFC South?
Bill took a lot of pride in winning them jokers, didn't he? All right, we got two Monday night games. T-Mill, the real deal. We've got... T-Mill's best bets, man. What you got? Which one am I jumping on?
Yes, sir. Monday night doubleheader. And if you missed, Clint laying it out so beautifully earlier. 12 for last 12, people. Follow me to the money. If you want to put cash in your pocket, follow me to the money. Here are your four best bets for tonight's matchups. Two from each game. First, I got the Chicago Bears plus 5 points at minus 115 odds. They're going to be in Washington taking on the Commanders. Within that game, I got a player prop for you. Running back for the Bears, DeAndre Swift. I'm on over 46.5 rushing yards tonight for him. And then your two bets for this Bills-Falcons matchup on a Monday night. I'm on the Bills minus 3. I think that line's at 3.5 or 4. I teased it just a little bit. Bills minus 3 at the Falcons. And your last best bet on a Reaction Monday is within that game is the under. I like Bills at Falcons under 50. I think that number is way too big for the way the defenses will be playing tonight between the Bills and Falcons. Those are your four best bets, boys. Let's go 16 for 16, huh?
I don't hate that under, that last one, because one of the things that I found most curious was the 3.5 that the Bills are favored by. I figured it would be a little bit more. So I don't know what Vegas knows that I don't, but I would take the under. I like that bet.
I'm going to have to text you and let you know I'm going to stew on it. Let it stew.
Nothing wrong
bit.
With that.
You know what I mean? I'll get with you. All right, Texans All Access is next. The Coaches Show, 5 to 7 p.m. D'Amico Rines, live, right at 5 o'clock. So in about 5 minutes, man. Monday Night Football, Commanders, Bears coverage, courtesy of Westwood One, beginning at 7 p.m., Houston, we greatly appreciate you listening. Sean Bajani, greatly appreciate you sitting in for Ron and Show Ugly. Yes, T-Mill, you killed it as usual. And until tomorrow, baby, when the drive returns at 2 p.m., Houston, we love you, baby.
And I know it's going to be.
You're going to get hard if you play us.
Who knows what the fans said? Some of them fans, you never know.
Tyler, I love you too, man. You so H-Town.